Are you like me? Are you tired of wearing uncomfortable dress shirts, especially when they bunch up under your sweater? You got to check out Collars & Co., the makers of the dress collar polo. So the shirts, they're four-way stretch, they're buttery soft polos, but with firm dress collars on them. So they give you the dress shirt look, but an extremely comfortable polo feel. You can wear them under your sweater, your blazer, or by themselves. They're great for the office. They're great for the golf course. They're great for a night out. Dan Orlovsky over at ESPN wears these. They look sharp. You don't want to wear shirts that you bought at a sporting goods store to work or out on a date. These shirts are exploding. The brand has gone viral on social media. They received a $1 million investment from Mark Cuban and Peter Jones on Shark Tank. It's because of those collars. They don't flop down. They don't spread out like a 1970s disco collar. They stay firm. They stay sharp all day. They're one less thing to worry about. If you're looking for a performance dress shirt or a polo that looks great all day, you got to check out collarsandco.com. Use the promo code VANITY for 15% off any purchase of $100 or more. Again, that's collarsandco, C-O-L-L-A-R-S, and co.com. Use the promo code VANITY, 15% off purchase of $100 or more. Oh, yeah. Three pre-rolls this week, including Keeps. 2 out of 3 men will experience some form of hair loss by the time they are 35. Take action and prevent hair loss. Go to KEEPS.com/JRVP to get your first month of treatment for free. That's KEEPS.com/JRVP for your first month free, and you can have beautiful hair like Anthony and myself. Join over 50 million people learning to code with Codecademy.
Codecademy.
And see where coding can take you. Get 15% off your Codecademy.
Codecademy.
Codecademy. Pro membership at Codecademy.com.
Codecademy.
Code JRVP.
Code JRVP.
My guess is it's codecademy.com/JRVP. How could it be codecademy.com?
There's probably a code. Listen, it's Codecademy. They know what they're doing.
Oh, you use the code.
You go to the website and then it's like, do you have a code?
Shoot.
Yeah, you have a code.
They might make us redo it for all that, but they should just.
They will not. We got people to listen to a Codecademy pre-roll.
Yeah, why did you just put that into the universe?
You can delete it if you want, but we never do that. And we would never find a better job search company than ZipRecruiter. It can be a frustrating journey filled with long, lonely hours on the computer and countless attempts to get noticed by employers. ZipRecruiter gets it. No one wants to feel alone in their job search. That's why ZipRecruiter's AI does much of the work for you. They save you time by sending you jobs you can apply to with one click, and they pitch to employers so you stand out. Job seekers, feel the love. Sign up for free at ZipRecruiter.com. Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com. We've got an attack squirrel, an emotional support clown, and a totally unverified Pete Davidson rumor, all coming up in episode 142 of the Jeselnik and Rosenthal Vanity Project.
JRPP.
Junior Vice President.
My life is peachy, outer space where you can't reach me. Besides, your style too preachy. You're Nietzsche. I'm Nietzsche.
I mean, that rhyme was so good, I started doing the embarrassing white guy thing where you just like put your hands up in the air.
The rhyme's good, but I'm such a good like rapper. You know? Like, you can tell by the way I say rapper that I know my shit. I've got bars.
That's got to be your old joke. I think I recognize it off the new album. Am I crazy? It sounds familiar to me. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Don't blow my recommendation station.
Yeah, I listened. It's good.
It's great. I love it. I'll talk about it more at the end, which everyone listening now will be listening to then. Good week. Last week, I took Rummy to get his bath. Rummy hasn't had a bath in 3 months. Because I've been muzzle training them. Greg, don't worry about your kids making noise in the background. It's totally cool. People love it. Yeah. I hadn't taken him in 3 months because I've been training him to get used to the muzzle. And then finally was like, you know what? Fuck it. His nails are getting too long. I got to take him in to get the bath. Took him in at 8 a.m. and put the muzzle on him. He didn't really want to wear it, but he didn't fight me too hard. You know, he just kind of turned his head to the side for the muzzle. But he let me put it on. I trained him properly to wear it. took him in to the groomers. He was cool with that. And then a couple hours later, I go to pick him up. And I'm like, how was he? And the bather goes, he was the same, but at least now he can't get to me. And she's like, I don't, she sounds totally defeated. She's like, I don't know what sets him off. But yeah, he can't get to me. So he was fine. He was cool. Calmed down toward the end, but I think just he does not like water near his face. I think he's like face adverse. He doesn't like anything near his face so much. Even if I like get my head near his face, he'll just kind of turn away. But if you add water to the mix, he's going to try to bite you. And that's what the muzzle's for. I'm glad the muzzle worked. I'm glad I put it on properly. I trained him for 3 months to be able to wear it comfortably, and he wasn't trying to tear it off. So I feel like a good dog dad, and I'm proud of my little boy. He's been extra clean, extra sweet. And I look forward to, like, you know, a little bit after the bath when I can start taking him back to dog parks. I've just been taking him on hikes and walks because I don't want him to get dirty with the other dogs yet. But it's like a new pair of shoes. You know, you're like, I'm not going to go run in the mud. But then after a couple weeks, you're like, you know, fuck it. They're just shoes.
But he's a dog. Yeah, he's a dog. What are you going to do?
Of course. I mean, when he's like, when we're hiking, he gets a little dirty. But it's not like rolling around in the fucking dirt with dogs at the dog park that is just a different kind of dirty. And even though when he does that, he's still a clean dog. That long hair, that double coat, the dirt falls right off. So I'm not too upset about it. But I'm just happy to have a new shiny new dog, and I don't want to get him dirty yet. But maybe I'm sure Thursday he'll go to the dog park with his dog walker. But Rummy's been great, and I know over the past couple months I haven't given like updates of Rummy like misbehaving, except for, you know, of course the groomer trying to bite the groomer. But that's what the muzzle's for.
A lot of pooping talk. There's been a lot.
But not for months. If you notice, not for months, and I'll tell you what the secret is. And I was kind of hesitant to even tell anyone about this. And then the more I tell people about it, the more people are like, oh, yeah, that's totally cool. I do that too. Prozac for dogs. Oh, Prozac for dogs. A couple months ago, I took Rummy to the vet and saw how he acted at the vet and just how, like, just insecure he was and nervous and kind of scared that I was like, is he a candidate for Prozac? And they were like, oh, absolutely. And I tried him on it, and almost immediately he like chilled out a lot, like less kind of anxiety, just much easier to deal with. And his poop, I think the poop, the diarrhea was anxiety induced, which we all know if we deal with anxiety at all can happen. That his poops have been solid. They've been fantastic. It's like once in the morning. He's a much more chill dog, much better behaved. And it's still, you know, it takes some time to kick in. They say 4 to 6 weeks, but it's been almost 8 weeks now. And he's been fantastic. That I almost wish I had tried this right away when I got him. When your dog hits 6 months, you can put them on Prozac. And they have different kinds. But I absolutely love my Prozac dog. And they were like, watch out because people will judge you for this. But everyone I've told has been psyched.
Thor's
been
on
like,
it.
I do it too. It's awesome. And after 6 months, if your dog is like a little, even any sort of a problem, throw him on Prozac and see what happens because it is the bomb.
It's like great. Kids. If you're having trouble with them, just like slip them some drugs. It'll like calm them down and it makes who knows really what's going on inside their body or mind in the case of a dog, but it'll make your life easier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just hope that when my dog is going to college that the damage isn't permanent and he'll be able to focus. You know, I think you're mixing your metaphors, Greg. And listen, I don't get on you about all the drugs you give your kids. You know, not a lot of people would give their kids CBD the way you do. CBD oil massages, which is what Greg is really into. And I don't judge you because they're your kids, you know. And they're kind of, I mean, they're my God kids. I'm sponsoring them for the book fair, whatever, with the book. What are they called?
The Bookathon, the Readathon. Yeah, Read-a-thon. We called you before the show to get you on board for the Readathon.
Are you going to sponsor them?
Or yeah.
Are you just like you get the sponsors?
No, I will sponsor them.
When you guys were kids, did you have the thing where you had to sell wrapping paper every year?
Definitely.
Yeah, we had to sell gift wrapping paper to pay for a like a field trip or some sort of thing that it was for, and I did not do that. I would just take the thing. Leave it on the kitchen table, and then like after 2 months when it was due, my dad would take it into the office and beg his coworkers to buy wrapping paper from me, and that's how it worked every single year. And I have no regrets. I think if you were a kid and you didn't do that, like Erica, did you go door to door and sell wrapping paper?
I don't think so. I think I just made my parents fill it out.
Just buy it all?
Yeah, isn't that what every kid did?
My parents didn't buy any. They're like, we know where to get our wrapping paper, but our coworkers are suckers, and we will get this.
Yeah, I'm sure my parents did that too.
Because I've been in an office where someone's like, hey, my kid needs this, and I'm like, do I have to? And they're like, yeah, you have to.
You do. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you're a jerk if you don't.
Depends what it is. I mean, if it's like Girl Scout cookies, yeah. But if it's wrapping paper, I think you can be selective.
Girl Scout cookies, you don't have to worry about that because everyone's buying those. They don't need your skinny ass buying their Girl Scout cookies. But if it's someone's like, hey, my kid's selling these nude pictures of themselves, and you don't buy them, and you don't pay top dollar and tip, then you're a creep. You're weird. So yeah, took Rummy to get his bath. Was very happy about that. He's been a dream dog lately. Gets in his crate at night, goes to bed. I lock the crate up. In the morning, I let him out. He's all excited to see me. We go for a walk. It's awesome. And I got my first massage in like almost 2 years.
I did two this week.
I used to get massages like honestly before a lockdown. I would get a massage every 2 or 3 weeks because I was like working out a lot for my TV show and just like from grinding my teeth, it was really bad. I think it was before maybe right around the time I started doing Botox on my jaw. I would get massages to kind of take the stress out. And I didn't realize how bad I was because I was like, you know, I feel okay. I've been stretching. I've been working out, but let me go get a massage. The spa near me opened up again just this past weekend. And I went and the guy just beat the shit out of me. Just beat the ever-loving shit out of me. And I was like, oh, this hurts so bad. And then the next day, I felt like $1 million that I really needed that massage. How was your massage, Erica?
It was really good. I did one of those like Thai table massages. And mm-hmm. So I was like, I like didn't realize like when I filled out the thing that it was like, is standing okay? And I was like, yeah. And I've never seen this done before. But they were like, he was holding onto the pipes so he wasn't putting all of his body weight on me. But like full-blown holding onto these pipe things, like walking back and forth. It was amazing. He was like just bending me in crazy directions. I feel like $1 million.
Yeah, I've had the Thai massage. I haven't had them stand on me like that.
Me neither, ever.
But I have had the Thai massage where your eyes are closed and they're just like twisting you into little like pretzels and shit. And you're like, I start laughing because I don't know what it is they're doing. But I've had every kind of massage there is. And Thai massage is a great, great massage.
Every kind of massage? Mm-hmm. Like every kind.
Yeah. I know what you're trying to do. You're trying to get dirty. And yeah, I had one of those dirty massages like right before this.
when Anthony came with us to Japan, that was just like, that was his thing.
Right.
I didn't actually get a massage in Japan. I should have gone to and gotten a geisha girl. I remember the hotel I stayed at in Japan, like a mile away from where you guys were. I would go to the bar at night. After I left you guys would go to bed early, and I would go back and have like a drink at the bar before I went to bed, and I would just try to pick out who the prostitutes were, because it was like the bar was loaded with prostitutes at that. And then someone told me like specifically this is the place where they go to get Americans, and I did not partake, but I
don't know if I could. Could you actually? I mean, I guess men are so different that it's not emotional, but
I've never done it. But if I was getting hit on in a bar or something and I was like, oh, this is like, I'm really into this, and then they were like, actually it's gonna be this much money, maybe I'd be like, you know what, one in Rome kind of thing. But I don't seek it out. I think of the movie, there was a movie with Ice Cube, it had glass in the title. I mean, I don't know if it was The Glass Shield, like Ice Cube goes back to South Africa where his like family's from, and some girl comes up, a prostitute approaches him in a bar, and he goes, there's two things I don't pay for, pussy and water, you know why? Because they free. And then walks away like it's the biggest mic drop moment of his life. And that's always been my motto. And that was my family motto, in a way.
But you buy a ton of water.
That's true. And then just a little bit of pussy. Just a little bit. Other than getting the massage and feeling great, like I worked out today with my trainer, and I just felt so much better than I have before getting this massage that it was like, it was much needed. And I thought, like, is this guy being a dick to me? Like, it hurts so much. But I think I just needed it. Other than that, I did Largo on Thursday night. And I think the dam's about to break on this writer's block, because I'm like, it's driving me so nuts doing the same 25 minutes over and over again that I'm like, you know what? I have to have something something bigger and longer to do something more long form by the time the next show rolls around at the end of February, that I'm just going to, that's all I'm going to be doing is working on this, like a long bit to go to the Comedy Store and work it out and then have something at Largo. I'm going to do at least 45 minutes at the next Largo show, whether I'm just like standing there going, what else is going on? If I'm doing that, then that's what you're going to get. But it's going to be a good one. I took questions at the end of this last Largo to be like, what do you want me to talk about? And some guy was like, your dog. And I was like, no one gives a fuck about my dog. And he was like, I do. I care very much. Talk about your dog.
Well, people, how about listeners to the Justin Lick and Rosenthal Vanity Project?
JRVP.
Junior Vice President.
Yeah. I mean, listen, if you have topics you want me to talk about, tweet at me.
They care about your dog. I mean, your dog is, I think, won you a lot of affection from our listeners. Certainly from my mom, who thinks you would be a great parent just because of the way you talk about Remy.
It softened me in the eyes of my acolytes, for sure. But it's just not funny. People, no one's really interested. But if I can find a way to make it funny without hurting the dog in the jokes, then I will do that. Like you would think I would have something about my dog biting a kid in the face, because I love my dog and kids getting bitten in the face, but I haven't been able to crack
it. He looks like a dog that would do it. I mean, that picture, Rummy's IG there was a picture of him with the mask on, and he's a bad looking boy.
But he's so sweet.
Sweet, but I just mean like he could rip into some kids if he wanted to.
Oh yeah, he scares people. He scares kids for sure. I mean, your kids are terrified.
Does the Largo shows? I don't know. Like, is the block putting you in a bad mood? Like when you left on Thursday night, were you thinking about that? And like, do you carry it with you that night or into the next day or whatever? Or you're just like assuming it's going to get better.
There's a little anxiety like the week of, because I'm like, oh shit, I should be writing jokes. I should be doing this. And then I don't. Or if I do, they don't work. And I'm annoyed. And then the day of the show, I let it go. Because I know that it's like almost like taking a test in high school where you're like, you're kind of cramming, you're upset. And then the day of, you're like, I can't cram anymore. Nothing I do is going to help. Let's just go get this over with. And I like, you know, I'm in the moment on stage. I'm trying to think of new things to add to jokes, which I did this week. I've added like a tag. I think Erica heard me do a tag last week that I hadn't done before. Added a new one to a new joke.
Good.
So I'm in the moment. I'm using the time to make myself better, my act better, hoping that something else comes out. And then afterwards, I'm like, you know what? I got through that. That was fine. But I truly enjoy being on stage. But once it's over, I'm like, okay, now like next month, I can't feel like this again. I have to do something. And that's why I do Largo every month. Even though I know I'm not going to have an hour yet, that Largo holds me accountable. That makes me go up at the store, you know, at least a couple times a week and try out new jokes and write new stuff. But I think I need something long to sink my teeth into, because the jokes just, it's been tough. And I think people want to hear more long form stuff from me that is, again, going to be just like jokes stacked on top of each other. But it's fun to take a story and find out where to interject my dark, dark humor and my leftist tendencies into a story. So that will be good. And I'm looking forward to next Largo already.
I think the Omicron is kind of
dying down, and like Largo's been kind of dead. Even like they're like, people just aren't showing up. People buy tickets and then don't show up night of. They don't ask for refunds. They just don't show up because they're kind of worried. But hopefully that goes away
They're catching COVID. That's probably it.
It was hard to book comics this week because a lot of people had COVID. A lot of people have been catching COVID. Erica, what were you going to say?
I didn't pick it for my corner this week, but someone did email saying that they were at your Largo show this past week and said that they think it's some of your best material to date. And they were really kind of shocked to hear you say that you're like having such trouble with writer's block, because it wasn't really a question, but they were just like, I think it's some of his best material I've ever seen from him.
I agree. So, I mean, I think some of it's the best, and I always want every special to be better than the one before it. But I got to 20, 25 minutes and I'm just like, fuck, like I can't get to 26. It's been like my newest joke is months old now. And usually I was good at jokes, but now I just want something long to kind of take up the space and let me chew up. So if you're in LA at the end of February, you want to come to the Largo show, you're guaranteed to see something that makes me uncomfortable. How was your week, Greg?
It was good. We have the conference championship games yesterday. As we're taping this, great games. Although I felt like I had a bad show, for instance, and that like I carry it with me. Like on the way home, I'm immediately thinking of things I meant to say or wanted to say, or how I wasn't as present or doing as good a job as I wanted to, and then it just puts me in a sour mood the whole next day. Essentially,
I heard that David Letterman, when he had his late night show, would tape his show. and then go into his office and watch the tape that of the show he had just done and scream at the TV the entire time. Like, there are people who just forget it and are just like, that's it, like, I'm moving on. And then people who obsess over it, and they're both valid. I don't think that it makes sense to get upset, but you can, it's good to think of the mistakes you made and what you won't do again. And obviously being more present is always good.
It was an emotional day though, Greg.
Did you pick the right, that's true. That you can get into that if you like, but did you pick the right teams?
I did. The Bengals. Pretty rare. I mean, it's not like my picks have been great this year, but I did pick the Bengals and the Rams to win completely because I was just emotionally rooting for both of them. So why not just pick what you're rooting for? The Rams, you know, Alice's team. What were you going to say?
Let me ask you this. When I heard that when the Bengals won, this has been widely reported, when the Bengals won and they announced it in Rams Stadium, fans of both the Niners and the Rams cheered, thinking like, okay, this is the easier path to winning the Super Bowl if we win this game. Do you agree with that?
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense to me. I think there's something with this Bengals team that is indescribable, or it's hard to define with a football team. Kind of reminds me of the 2001 Patriots. It's like every team that got to play that team was excited to play them because they were going to be favored. And they, you know, if you look at all the analytics and various matchups, it all makes sense. And that to me is what this Bengals team is. So like, I'm not surprised 49ers and Rams fans were happy, and that, you know, the Rams are favored by 4 or 5 points when they would be that big of an underdog, at least against the Chiefs. So, I would just say good luck with that. There just seems to be something different. I don't know, special with this Bengals team. It's one of the fun things about football. It was like 21-3 and they won a game that they just shouldn't have won.
I agree. I mean, when I was watching the game, I was like, the Bengals can come back. They did it both last time they played this team. I didn't think Kansas City would shit the bed as hard as they did, but I believe in the Bengals. And listen, I'm a Steelers fan. I'm not supposed to like the Bengals, but I do, because they were bad for so long and such a non-threat, that I'm rooting for this team. And I should be rooting for LA. I should be rooting for the Rams. I can't. I'm rooting for the Bengals all the way. I love Joe Burrow. I love how fucking cocky he is and how cool he is. And even more than Joe Burrow, that kicker who just like calls his shot. Is he the one who kicks over the team while they're coming out for introductions? Is that the same?
That, there was somebody. Yeah, I forget. I know who you're. Yeah, I know when that happened. I don't remember. I don't think so.
But yeah, that guy who just was like, "Yeah, we're going to Kansas City," after like in the last game when he had to come and kick a game winning field goal. I love that guy. I love the Bengals, and I'm rooting for them hard in the Super Bowl.
There is something about Burrow that like he gives. I feel like he gives white quarterbacks like a good name. You know, he's like a cool quarterback. Like, he's a next generation quarterback that you can get behind, that like everyone loves.
He's what Fitzpatrick wishes he was in real life. He's what Fitzpatrick wants to be. Yeah, I love Joe Burrow, love the Bengals. So you're rooting for Bengals over Rams?
I am. Yeah, no, it was emotional. As Erica mentioned, we watched the game with Chris's wife Lakeisha, my friend Chris, who died.
I saw the video.
Just
I got
about
emotional.
You got emotional watching the
video?
I got emotional watching
the video, watching her, just like tears of joy, holding the baby, everyone coming up to hug her. I was like, I don't know who's filming this, but they probably shouldn't be. But I'm glad they did, because, yeah.
It was me.
I'm pulling. It was you? That makes
yeah,
sense.
Yeah, it was.
It was a couple people.
I'm very happy for all the Westling heads out there. And yeah, I didn't know he was a big Bengals fan until these playoffs, I found out. But that makes me root for them all the more.
Well, the thing was, he kind of quit on them half, like at one point. But he would have gotten back in. That was his team
well,
as
I mean,
a kid.
Technically, Greg, he quit on everybody.
he like had this whole dossier where he like collected all these papers to like show and prove like why he should quit this team with this terrible ownership. But there's just been something special about it, and Lakeisha watching it and rooting for them and everything. And it's just, we're coming up on a year on him dying this week, actually later this, it'll be next weekend. And there really is something, you know, I've never gone through anything like this last year. It's been the worst year of my life because of Chris dying and seeing what Keisha's going through and everything, and all going through it together. It's so tied in with work. There really is something with that year mark that like weighs on you, and is very much like this marker that you feel coming, because you're kind of like reliving the days of what you were doing a year ago at this time. too. And so that's all coming up. And then this game, and it's just like, it is weird with sports. I love sports, and it's like, you're just feeling, it's sort of indescribable, but just like a lot of emotions all at once. And it's sort of strange that it's sports and it's football that is like helping bring us all together and do that, and having those hugs and having kind of those moments. But it's awesome too. Like, it's awesome. Yep. And it sucks, and it's like great and it's sad all at the same time.
I totally understand what you mean and totally agree with you. Let me ask you this, and I'm not joking in any way. I'm dead serious. You have Chris's phrase, heed the call, mm-hmm. tattooed on your arm. Do you yell heed the call when the Bengals do something good? You know what I mean? When
no.
they hit that field goal, do you scream out like, heed the call, and like celebrate that way?
Is no, that like no, no, it's not like that. But I did maybe think it about be. It like earlier maybe in the week. Be. Maybe it should be. I did think about it earlier in the week because we have different responsibilities on Monday and on Sundays, rather. And I was going to have to I did some Sky Sports work from Lakeisha's kitchen. And then we had to like drive into the office and fight the Rams traffic, maybe miss some of that game while we're doing that. And like that's where I get my heed the call. Like early in the week, I just realized we need to be together when this happens, because I just suddenly had this image of the Bengals winning, you know, a game on another game-winning field goal. And I was like, I do not want to, you know, not be with her at the time. And so,
I mean, was I wrong in the video? Was Colleen Wolf there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was surprised. I was like, oh, Colleen's really, and Lakeisha are really close, because she's missing something. Like, Colleen should be in a studio somewhere and is in a backyard watching this game. I thought that was great. What if Chris's favorite phrase had been who day? Would you have gotten that tattooed on your arm?
I think I would have. Why not? That was only my second tattoo as an adult, or recently, since me and you got one, and then I got one. Now, I mean, I'm always thinking of now I want more things to get a tattoo, and yet there's so little that seems like it would be worth it, that if that really was like his thing, which is hard to imagine, yeah. Then I would. Then it'd be fun.
What if, okay, the Bengals win. Would you shave your head and get the Bengals stripes tattooed on the sides of your head?
No.
So your head looks like a Bengals helmet.
No,
when
why
it's
would
shaved,
I do
but you can grow your hair back, and you look totally the same. But you know, Chris is always with you.
but then, anytime you wanted to break it out, you could just shave your head, and people would mm-hmm. be surprised. All
you would
again.
Never want to break it out. You would never, unless like you're on an airplane that gets hijacked by terrorists who are from Cincinnati. That's the only time you would like. Let me go in the bathroom and shave my head. Otherwise.
I'm not going to be a Bengals fan for life or anything, although I'll always have a soft spot for them, for sure. I always kind of have liked the Bengals, actually. I liked that 2005 Carson Palmer team. They were kind of the first team that made me realize I could like a team that wasn't the Patriots. But no, I'm not putting any sports team on my body. There is no sporting figure or team I would ever do.
Let's talk Tom Brady. What do you think happened? Do you think Schefter blew it, or do you think Brady won it, didn't want the info getting out yet? Because I had heard that he doesn't want to overshadow the Super Bowl, doesn't want to take away from anyone's accomplishments this weekend or this past weekend. And then Schefter got a hold of it and ran with it. Because everyone else is printing retractions, except ESPN is still like, oh, he was one of the best. You know, that I believe he is right, and I believe he will retire. And then he was just annoyed that he didn't get to control it the way he's gotten to control everything.
Right. It's both. I mean, but mostly it's that he didn't get to control it. But he also is going on this podcast that he apparently does every week with Jim Gray, but which
yeah,
is
they have a podcast.
Bizarre.
I didn't know that until I read about it. Yeah.
Right. He talked this week about it, you know, after the reports, and saying like, he was just wanted to have a nice quiet weekend, and it like ruined his weekend, and he wants the focus to be on football, and that he's going through the process and all. And I don't really believe him. But he's also like the source on this story, so you also can't say like that they're 100% right. I think Jeff Darlington's really upset because it was Adam Schefter and Jeff Darlington, and I know Jeff Darlington, and everyone's just talking about Schefter, and so I know that probably is bothering him. But they probably got the information from someone that's not Tom Brady or Tom Brady's dad, and I'm sure they got it like double source, triple source, that this was the plan, and that they trusted it, and
I don't know.
they went with the news, and who cares? Like they probably knew that Tom Brady's dad and agent and Tom Brady were gonna deny it, because they probably didn't respond to their texts and everything, and they were like, the story's right, so it doesn't matter. Like Tom Brady can want to control the news all he wants. Like if it's if it's true, then it's true, and it's like you can't control that.
See, Tom Brady once again, like at the end of his career, getting overshadowed by Big Ben. You know, just one last time where Ben retired the right way.
It was sort of the opposite. It was sort of the opposite. Roethlisberger got like 2 days until it was wall-to-wall Brady coverage, and it was a bunch of coverage that everyone's going to have to like rerun in 2 weeks when he officially retires.
He had a full week. Ben had a full week, and now he has the rest of his life to do whatever he wants.
Wait, Erica, you think that Tom Brady, somehow they're wrong? The Brady fans, like, who really want this to be true, like, are mad at
them. No, definitely not. But is there anyone more spiteful that Brady now is going to be like, you know what, screw you, I'm going back for a victory lap? Like, there is no one on planet Earth more equipped to do that than Tom Brady. And also Schefter, Darlington, triple, quadruple sourcing, they were literally like, holy shit, someone texted me that they're pretty positive. I bet they were just like, I'm gonna tweet this out and get it as fast as I can.
See, this is that's the dumbest thing.
But no. I kind of agree with Erica that he might, out of spite, out of just like, fuck this isn't how I wanted to go out, let me try one more time. But he's not getting closer to the Super Bowl than he was this year. That team has to do some rebuild. I don't think Gronk will be back. Antonio Brown, definitely back.
Here's why definitely I don't buy it. Here's why I totally buy Antonio Brown. I mean, they might have to. I think Arians might leave, their coach, if Brady leaves. I think so. If Brady retires, I think Arians is just going to be like, no, see ya, and promote one of either Byron Leftwich or Bowles, because I want to get out of here. But Jeff Darlington and Adam Schefter, especially Darlington, is like the closest reporter to Brady. So this is not like this is a relationship that those two have like built so that he could get this scoop for years and years. And maybe they went with it before Brady really wanted. Maybe he's just talking out of both sides of his mouth and you know, he knew they were going to do it and is now just trying to push back because he doesn't want it to get out publicly. But I don't believe for a second that they put that out there questioning it one bit, and probably getting it approved from people in his camp. Like,
yeah, I don't think they got it wrong, but I could see Brady walking it back over this, even though I do not think he will.
That would be a ridiculous way to live your life, that you would potentially get injured or play this other year, which your wife doesn't want you to do, which your kids probably don't want you to do, and change the entire next year of your life just to spite Jeff Darlington and Adam Schefter. Like, what would the point of that be?
I can't believe Brady averaged a Super Bowl championship every 3 years of his career. That's insane.
He only played 20 full seasons, and now we're getting really into like a football podcast.
20 full seasons, 7 Super Bowls. So yeah,
in 20 full seasons, he made the conference title game 14 times. That is outrageous. Yeah.
Now let me ask you this before we go on to get any notes. All these articles coming out about how the NFL does not have enough black head coaches. Right now they have one, Mike Tomlin. Mike fucking Tomlin with the Steelers, because the Steelers are the most woke organization of all time. Now, does it like, do you cringe a little bit whenever you see a new coach hired and it's a big fat white guy? Do you cringe? Do you at the idea of, you're going to be talking about this for months now, when Harbaugh takes the Minneapolis job and they don't hire Leftwich in Jacksonville and there's only one black head coach next year? Do you cringe every time? Because I kind of cringe. I'm like, I know these teams aren't thinking about, like, we've got to do what's good for the news cycle. I know they're like, who's going to be the best person for our organization, who we have a relationship with. But as a sports writer, are you like, fuck, couldn't you guys just hire a couple just to make up my job easier?
Yes, of course I cringe. And I think they should be thinking about that. Like, why not think about that? They think about what's good for the league. Like, that would be good. It'd be a good idea. Maybe Brian Flores gets a job. They did hire a couple black GMs last week, which, yeah, that was probably, but yeah, it's embarrassing. I mean, it's the embarrassing thing is this has been a story for the almost 20 years that I've been doing this as a job, and like every off season, kind of Roger Goodell, you know, and in the league, like, talks very sternly about the things they want to change, and things don't change because it's totally racism is playing a huge part of it. I mean, you have to look at who's making these decisions, and you have to look at sort of like an old boys network. Almost everyone hired is like a Bill Belichick assistant or like has a family member that already was a head coach or a coach in the NFL. Like, that's pretty much it. Yeah.
Nepotism. What are you going to do? I mean, your dad got you the job at the NFL.
That's not true.
And now it's time for, did we get any notes? Nope. And that was Did we get any notes? Now it's time to take it down to a place that has zero black head coaches. It's Erica's Corner. Erica Tamposi is our producer. She's got a couple other podcasts, The Broadcast with my girl Emma. I don't remember her last. Sour Wine? That was the old one. Is it
that
Samaki?
That was the
old
Samaki now, yeah.
Samaki now. Emma Samaki. And then she's got her podcast Split Ends with Colleen Wolf, which she's finally stopped bothering me about, even though I assume in the off season that's coming from me again.
Oh, yeah. You know it.
Yep. I can't wait to hear what you ask me to talk about. I guarantee you're going to be like, well, you want to come on and talk about Big Ben in March?
We literally just talked football for like 20 minutes and it was entertaining. That's all we would do.
Mm-hmm. So it's going to be about football?
Probably not. We talk even about like Odell Beckham going to Delilah after the win Sunday and he's like partying with Tyga and stuff.
That's still football. So if we talk in April, you're going to be asking me about the fucking combine?
Probably not.
Okay. Probably not. You're probably not going to get me. But Erica Tamposi is our producer, and we like to let her carve out a little part of this podcast to plug her own stuff. And I mean, I'm going to be straight with you guys. Ask us, read us a viewer email or listener email. Go ahead, Erica. Shine for us.
Definitely. So this is from Angela. I noticed in the last episode that Anthony mentioned stories or people that he discovered on TikTok. This made me wonder if Anthony has finally discovered the app and if he is a regular user. Is this just something that he does with his girlfriend? What's his For You page like? And does he have any particular lanes of TikTok that he finds interesting? What are the things on TikTok that he hates? Touchdown Airbud, Angela.
Okay, great question. Great question. I discovered TikTok. I was on a podcast once called Your Mom's House with Tom Segura and his wife, Christina Pazinski. And she started showing me TikToks. And I was like, this is the worst shit I've ever seen in my life. I like truly hated it and thought that's what TikTok was. I thought it was just like longer vines, but everyone sucks. And then someone, I think one of the bather who Rummy's always trying to bite at Jess Rona Grooming, made a TikTok video of Rummy getting a bath that I had to have. It was like amazing. It was like when Greg's looking at graduation photos of his daughter in like a few years, like he's going to care about these photos as much as I cared about this video. And I had to have it. And the only way I could get it
similar
was to sign up for TikTok, was to make a TikTok, was to like get in a TikTok account. So I have one. I don't know what the name is that I put it under, but I now have the TikTok thing that I will scroll through it. But because of maybe I'm just a weird dog guy, all of it. Like I would say 95% of it is dogs, is dogs doing things, and I'm all about it. I'm totally about it. It's like I'm a dog trainer. Here are three dog breeds I'd want to own. Here are three I wouldn't want to own. I love that stuff. Or just a dog doing something wacky. I'm here for it. What I don't like that people seem to do the same joke over and over again. Like when it's not a dog thing.
It's like a
it's
trend.
Always like the same like... when you're trying to study, but you accidentally start playing video games, and it's like these close-up shots of their feet, and then they're falling, and the headset comes on, and the controller's in their hand, and they sit down, and then you see it 100 times. We see the same jokes over and over again. Like, my wife said, it's either the dogs or her. And then they're like, telling their dogs, like, you have to leave. I'm sorry. We can't be together anymore. And the dog's like, you said that to her? And he's like, damn straight. And you see it 100 times. And I hate the family.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
Who's always shooting the confetti cannon at each other. They find different ways, elaborate ways to surprise each other with the confetti cannon. I hate that. Because the wife is always like, she'll be covered in like goop from a balloon he shot. And then a confetti cannon. And then she looks at him and like laughs really hard every time. She's never mad. And I don't believe that. I don't believe
it's
that she like thinks this is cool. Why do you have cameras in your home recording everything? I don't like that. And yeah, I just don't like the jokes. I think TikTok is terrible for humor for the most part, but I will sit there and scroll through it every now and again. I did not know FYP meant for you page. I did not know that. But yeah, it's all dog stuff. And then occasionally it'll be the girl going, when your face looks innocent, and they hold a towel in front of themselves for like 5 minutes and they drop it for like 0.2 seconds and they have just like a normal person's body. And you're like, okay. Like, what? You're not that hot. This is weird. I don't get it. Or like, I go through TikTok on mute. And so I never, if you're talking
Wait,
and it's not
really?
Subtitled, I have no idea. I can't hear anything. Cause I don't flip through it every now and again. And, when they're like, click on sound and you're like, why, what does that even mean? I don't get what they're doing. So yeah, I'm kind of like, I'm a very much an old person looking at TikTok because I wanted one video of my dog. And I would I would never create an account. I think people have tried to like message me on there or like people follow me, but I've never posted anything unless I had to post Rummy's video to get it. I don't remember. But yeah, I think TikTok is weird, but I'm there for the dog shit specifically. Mm. Greg, have you ever gone on TikTok?
No.
You don't have to do it for the NFL or anything?
No.
Actually, I put you on TikTok, Greg. I've put you on it.
Yeah, I mean, I once did something for our social team at the NFL, but I never saw it. I just, it makes me feel old even to hear you talk about it. I feel like though we're like 3 or 4 weeks. I mean, Liz is a powerful presence in your life, and I feel like you'll be doing some like dance challenges in like a month's time, Anthony.
There's no, I mean, she looks at it, but she doesn't like post videos, I don't think, but she'll look at it, and her feed is very different from mine. Very different from mine, but she enjoys that I'm just sitting there watching dog videos and not like hoochie mamas dancing in bikinis.
It makes me feel bad. I'm sure mine would be very tennis related or books, and so that those seem to be my like.
I wonder if there's a book TikTok.
I bet there is.
There is. When I go, I've been to a Barnes & Noble recently, and there's tables that just say book talk, and you know I can figure out what that means. I just like
a table. I mean, there, Barnes & Noble that says book talk.
Yeah, and book you, talk and like T O K
TikTok into that. Oh, okay.
And it's TikTok. It's like some sort of, you know, it's books that are popular on TikTok. Been, yeah. I check it, you know, it's a whole thing where TikTok is selling like a lot of the books on the bestseller list are huge on TikTok. It'll be like, you know, it'll be something that has been like on the bestseller list for a year because of TikTok. But it just makes me feel like sad. I don't want to be judgmental about it, but every time anyone has ever sent me something that they're like, oh, you gotta see how funny this is, it's basically Erica, but you gotta see how funny this is, and it's like a TikTok, I never think it's funny. Like, it doesn't even make me smile, and that makes me sad, because I'm like, I'm sure this is good for these people, but it's not for me.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, there's a lot of stuff I do not like on it. Even the dog stuff. It's like it'll be like our dog's last day on earth. We're giving him the meal, and it's like you're just sitting here filming your dog before you put it down. Like, I don't want to watch this. This is terrible. But I mean, I almost deleted Twitter this weekend because I was so sick of hearing about this Joe Rogan shit with Spotify and seeing people argue about it. That I was like, God, I don't even want to be on this platform anymore. But I literally have no other platform to be on. That I would hate to have to like do TikToks and like put up TikToks of my act. Even though I see people do that. I've come across people who like lip sync my act, one of my jokes, and I hate it. I hate when they do it.
This conversation is what I'm afraid of. I just sounded so old even just talking about
it. Well, you said you had to Google book talk.
No. Well, I've seen articles about it without Googling, just because it's like, cool. It's like, you know, because I read like published, you know, articles about the book industry.
Ask Jeeves, what is TikTok?
We're old. Embrace it. You're closer to the end of your life than the beginning.
Right, and that's fine. That is my version of embracing it, is I don't,
but I also
I'm never going to engage
think,
with it.
Like, you know, we can't stay in the past, and like there are such masses on TikTok that, Anthony, like if you were doing some of your best like one-liner jokes just staring into a camera and it was like 7 seconds long, like it would have millions of likes, and then you monetize that. Like these TikTok people
don't stand in the past. Anthony.
They're making $100,000 a month, like some of these content creators.
I'm gonna hang out in the past with my dignity. I'm not going on. I'm not doing any of my best one-liners on TikTok, looking into the camera.
Do a comedy concert on TikTok.
Yeah, I might start a podcast with Che Diaz. Start a new one.
And, there is a thing like with TikTok and with social media in general. It's like, oh, but everyone's monetizing it. It's like, yeah, there's a million jobs out there of people making a ton of money that I have no interest in.
Like farting in the jar.
Like why would I? Yeah, why would I want to add something that makes you unhappy? Like there's very little social media that makes me happier.
Oh, I cannot stand that when comics used to do this a lot, where they'd be like, you gotta have a YouTube channel. If you just put this up, there's videos of you on YouTube, but people are making money and you're not making it, so you gotta get a YouTube channel. I was like, I'm just never gonna do that, and I never did, and I'm happy, and I have money, I'm fucking rich. And that was Erica's Corner. Shine on, you crazy diamond. You know, I kind of wanted you, I forgot to tell you beforehand, I kind of wanted to have you do every song, just be Kid Rock screaming, "No shit, motherfucker," every time. But one last thing I'll say, I'm sick of people talking about, like, you got to do your art, or you got to take what you do and monetize it. Everything you do has to be monetized. Everything. I'm sick of it. Sometimes you do it for the love of the game, and if the money comes, then great. But not everything has to be for money. It's not all about money. And now it's time for...
coffee.
Add copy on the podcast.
I can't believe neither one of you saw that coming. I had no idea. Yeah, it is
I
for the love of the game.
Seemed ironic on the podcast monetizing.
That would do so well on TikTok. That would just crush on TikTok.
I'm filming this.
Keeps.
Boomerang.
What a sponsor. They've been around sponsoring the Jeselnik and Rosenthal Vanity Project.
JRVP.
Don't lose your hair.
Junior Vice President.
For a while, because we deliver. And we deliver to the 2 out of 3 men who experience some form of hair loss by the time they are 35. Keeps, very well reviewed. More 5-star reviews than any of its competitors. There's only 2 FDA-approved medications that can prevent hair loss, and Keeps offers them both. What do? They give you a doctor consultation, very easy, online, and then they hook you up with medication if you qualify, which is delivered straight to your door every 3 months. You don't have to leave your home. They have 24/7 care and support, so if you need any help getting prescriptions or any issues that you need to support you in making your hair goals a reality, they help you out. It's also very low cost. The treatments start at just $10 a month, and Keeps offers generic versions of the 2 FDA-approved medications to prevent hair loss. What are your hair goals, Anthony? You know,
just my hair goal is just to maintain this. You know, I'm receding a little bit, and if it recedes a little more, I might have to go the Keeps route. But I feel like when I research things, it seems like there are 2 ways to keep your hair and grow thicker, more luscious, more lascivious hair. It's either Keeps or it's Nair. And let me tell you something. Don't go down the Nair road. It's a trap. Keeps. Keeps is where it's at. You want to look like me and Greg? Keeps. And you do want to look like me and Greg. A combination of us would be unstoppable. Half my face, half Greg's, all our hair.
I mean, I think I have a nice head of thick hair. And
you both
and
do.
Right, and that's what, like, the makeup lady, the hair lady says it works. And yet, Emeka was always telling me it's, like, thinning and you got to do something. And I was like, you know, her comments are going to make me lose my hair.
Well,
that's why I'm going to get Keeps.
That's because when you guys make love, she's behind you. And she's just staring at the top of your head. And so she's noticing it.
I am losing my voice from screaming this weekend, and I'm going to sound cackling like that too, but picturing fucking Emeka peg Greg is the funniest thing I've ever pictured in my entire fucking life.
Yeah, everyone did it already. You didn't have to spell it out. Remember, prevention is key.
Why did you have to explain the joke? Right, it was not as crude until you...
It was
like...
perfect. It was perfect, and you ruined it.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I hope she doesn't listen. Remember, prevention is key. That's what I'm going to do. Remember that prevention is key, and treatments can take 4 to 6 months to see results, so act fast. If you're ready to take action and prevent hair loss, go to keeps.com/JRVP to receive your first month of treatment for free. That's keeps.com/JRVP to get your first month free. keeps.com/JRVP. Not sure
Tell
if
them
I,
Peg sent you.
Yeah, not sure if Emeka will listen, but my parents will, and I'm sure they'll enjoy it. They'd also enjoy ZipRecruiter. Hey, they're out of work. My dad was once out of work in his 40s, and changed jobs, went into financial advising. I mean, that's a tough thing to start in your 40s. Just imagine if ZipRecruiter was around back then. It could have saved him a lot of time searching for a job. ZipRecruiter is different because they get it. No one wants to feel alone in their job search. Everyone wants to feel seen, especially by the right employer. That's why ZipRecruiter's AI does so much of the work for you. When you sign up, they help to make the whole process faster and easier. They save you time by sending you jobs you can easily review and apply to with one click, so your job search doesn't take over your life. No wonder ZipRecruiter...
You know what I just thought of, Greg, is if ZipRecruiter had been around back then, you would never have been born. If your dad hadn't been so frustrated with the job search that he took it out on Debbie and produced little Greg, you know, you wouldn't be here.
I was like 10 years old at the time. It was a, you know, the timeline doesn't add up. That's why it really sticks in my head. He had to change careers, you know.
But he would have stopped feeding you. You would have starved to death.
Yeah, that's fair. It was a lot of cups of soup. No wonder ZipRecruiter's the number one rated job site by G2. Do you know what G2 is?
It's the thing that rates job sites.
That's absolutely right. Job seekers, it's time to feel the love. Feel it from ZipRecruiter. They get you ahead of the game by pitching your profile to employers for jobs you'll love so that you stand out. If you want to find an easier way to find the right jobs and connect with great employers, go to ZipRecruiter.com today to sign up for free. Once again, go to ZipRecruiter.com right now to sign up absolutely free.
And that was...
ad copy.
Let's get the headlines. Let's sell some shoes, Greg.
Yeah, I miss... I do miss Kid Rock now that you mention it. Remember that headline I sent you during the week, by the way, which was a great headline. We're not doing that headline, but the headline was in favor of Kid Rock's song, and it said that Kid Rock launches a salvo that is American pop music's first sign of rebellion. This was a column in the National Review. Because pop music, rock music in general, never had any songs of rebellion. Kid Rock, the first one to do it.
Never. Billy Idol did not exist. And listen, I know in LA, you know, it's still warm here. People have their windows down. I hear people bumping Kid Rock nonstop, nonstop, like just on repeat over and over again. It's been great. Normally I wear earphones when I hike with Rummy, but I don't have to because everyone's just walking with the radio playing Kid Rock and it pumps me up. It pumps me. I think about the amount of heart attacks that have happened in the past week of people listening to Kid Rock getting too fired up.
Right. It's one of those things, like a lot of our listeners have reached out to us and say, oh, you guys usually kind of pick left of center choices in terms of your recommendation station or maybe a book or a movie we've never heard of, but this is almost like the whole country is behind Kid Rock. It's almost nice to see you guys backing up something that everyone can agree on.
They're not even behind him. They're like shoulder to shoulder with him in the mosh pit that is America. You know, it's not a melting pot, it's a mosh pit, and Kid Rock is wearing the American flag like you should not be doing. It's unpatriotic, but he does it anyway and just rocks the fuck out. Good job, Kid Rock. Enjoy that great money.
Job. I hope they're listening to Kid Rock up in Canada, but probably not.
No, they can't. They don't get it.
They don't understand it, and they're busy with the story about a rogue Foot Locker employee who is being accused of something we've all thought of doing at one point or another, and that's jacking off into our sneakers.
I don't understand why you guys can't use the word masturbating. When Erica gave us the headline, it said jacking off into shoes. I thought masturbated would have been more the headline. But I don't know. I mean, I feel like, who are the horniest people in the world, Greg?
Foot Locker employees?
Referees. Oh. And so when you're a Foot Locker employee and you dress up like a ref and you have that back room you can go into, because referees, they can't hide. You know, not until halftime or after the game. They have to be out there on the court in front of everybody. That it must be really hard. I mean, I know it's hard, but it must be very difficult to get through it. Not just the male referees, the female referees too. Umpires, horny as can be, that when you work at a Foot Locker, there's no reason they should be wearing a referee uniform. But they do it, and then they kind of go down a rabbit hole of horniness. And you're going to masturbate into a shoe. Like, how did they do it? Would it be like a woman comes in and says, I want this in a size 8, and then like, I'll be right back. And then 10 minutes later, they come out and hand them the shoe. And then, like, get excited as they put their foot into it and hope they don't notice? Or was he, like, caught in the back room pleasuring himself into a shoe? Like, what was the scenario? I imagine it was A.
It was neither. It was posted on Snapchat. It was a guy who had an account on Snapchat. He had a little show. I don't know. Here was a quote from it. It was taken down, but someone archived it and this is him speaking. He was a manager at Foot Locker. He was 27 years old. And he was like, he said, "What's up, Snapchat? You're back on another episode of Naked D-Fly in the Workplace. Oh, yeah." So as you can see, we're at Foot Locker here. There's nobody else here, only my shit. And I am fully, completely, 100% sexy and naked. And that was just a little introduction to the types of Snapchat snaps that that he was doing. So based on the fact that he called it a show, it sounded like he had been doing this for a while.
It's probably his own story. It wasn't like he had like an actual Snapchat show.
No, I get that, but by calling it a show, it indicates that it wasn't like the first time, and he had some followers that had been watching him do it more than once. But yes, they went back and saw the videos, and you know, he did various things, just kind of like naked or just like rubbing himself, but also yes, masturbating to completion into the shoe
and showing that.
I don't think the videos showed it. He talked about doing it in the videos, but it sounds like the videos didn't actually show the act of it. And I really like this story because it's in a place, I guess, somewhere near Toronto called Brampton, Canada. And like all the comments to the stories is just like, oh, yeah, of course, Brampton. Like that is the least surprising. It's like, they're like, oh, no, of course, it's in Brampton. Like, this is the least surprising story ever. Fucking Brampton.
I'm gonna go pull a Brampton on my shoes. Hold on, I'll be right back. What do you think is crazier? Being a Foot Locker manager, not just a rogue employee, but being a manager and risking it all for your Snapchat to masturbate into a shoe? Or do you think it's crazier to be a Super Bowl winning quarterback who has a secret identity where you work at a Foot Locker just to get the Patrick price on your shoes, to get the employee discount? What do you think is crazier? Because you know, if Patrick Mahomes, and I like Patrick Mahomes, he's my homie, but if he was working at a Foot Locker, he would for sure masturbate into the shoes.
I think it's crazier, yeah, to do the Patrick price, because it just doesn't make sense. It's like one of those celebrities that steal, you know, small like amounts of clothing just to feel alive, kind of like Kendall on Succession, just, you know, takes pens from stores he walks out of, and that's kind of what Patrick Mahomes is doing by trying to get the Patrick price by working at Foot Locker. Like, he can just buy the shoes.
That's true. That's very true. I would never masturbate into a shoe. I'm not a foot guy, but what I would masturbate on is that thing that measures your feet, that metal thing. I think it would be funny to do that. So if you ever see me in a shoe store, you know what I'm doing. You know what I'm doing there. I'm jacking it.
That sounded worse, I think, than I expected.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's what we do here on the Jeselnik and Rosenthal Vanity Project.
JRVP. Junior Vice President.
I love this next one. I'm really excited.
Did you hear my kids right then? Is that
did
why
they
you
all
were laughing?
Scream goodnight? I love you. That was so cute.
It was pretty cute. Yes, when we say goodnight, Walker screams goodnight. I love you. I love you. I love you. Goodnight. I love you. I love you. I love you. And so that's what you're.
Why don't you I think yell
he was,
back?
He was talking to me, talking about masturbating on the thing that measures your feet.
I mean, he's not talking to me. He's talking to Emeka.
That's the only bedtime story worth telling to your kids.
These are the moments I'm missing to talk about. Jacking off at a Foot Locker. I want to talk about Kanye West, though, next. Remember him? The former rapper turned professional bummer is not happy with his estranged wife, Kim Kardashian's new boyfriend, Pete Davidson. Kanye is reportedly telling everybody within earshot that Davidson has AIDS.
This is so funny. And now, first of all, did you read that? The former rapper turned professional bummer? Did you make that up?
I made that up.
Okay, good on you. That's a good one. You've got a future in this business. I love this, how petty this is, because no one believes this for even a second. And like, if I told someone, if I was like, you know, Pete Davidson has AIDS, it would be a rumor that it would start. And people would be like, oh my God, Jeselnik told me it must be true. But if Kanye West, the guy who everyone knows wants his wife back so badly, that he's parading a poor actress around trying to make her look like Kim Kardashian, and clearly is so furious at Pete Davidson that he's like rapping about it, would be like, you know, Pete Davidson has AIDS, right? You would not believe him for even a second. And telling everyone within earshot means it's just like, if you're Kanye's assistant, you hear this multiple times a day, and you just got to like look at the ground and kind of shake your head no whenever he does it and hope he doesn't look at you. But I love just the pettiness. He went straight for AIDS. If he had said herpes, it may have been a little believable.
Yes.
He was like, I'm kind of worried, but he went straight to the big one. He went to the big A, and I think, and it was, I bet he said full blown, because I don't see Kanye just stopping it. He's got AIDS. He's got full blown AIDS. He's not HIV positive. He's got full blown AIDS, and it's. I hope he puts it in a song. I hope
there's
a song.
Is that a thing, Full Blown AIDS? I feel like that was a thing.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's still going.
It's the most fun way to say AIDS, is Full Blown AIDS. And I just, like, remember that Donda album that fucking sucked, where there's a song that they just go Donda, 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 and over and over again. It's probably the best song on the album.
I get nominated for a Grammy. Donda.
The album, but not that song. They're not like Song of the Year, where it just a computer says Donda over and over again. But if he had a song on his next album that was just Pete Davidson as AIDS, Pete Davidson as AIDS, Pete Davidson as Full Blown AIDS, I would listen to that. If he just said that and then put it in a loop and then rapped over it, I'd be so fucking pumped. That would be a banger. That would replace Kid Rock in my rotation.
The funniest part of the article, which I don't believe, but I appreciated, was that sources close to Pete Davidson said Davidson is, quote, very concerned. He's like, is? I don't think so.
I bet he's concerned about Kanye being crazy. I don't think he's concerned he, it would be funny if he was like, he's going to get it tested and see if he does in fact have AIDS. That would be hilarious. If he was like, I'm worried now. No one's ever told me that.
Or just that he's like worried that it's hurting his reputation, that everyone thinks he has AIDS now. But you're right. It's probably very concerned just about her crazy estranged husband, which that part I would be concerned about. That is concerned.
I wish that Pete Davidson was like, this makes me upset for the community that is living with HIV and AIDS, and it's disrespectful to them. That would have been a nice statement. But you know how they always like, there was like Pete Davidson's reps did not comment on this. I would love if they were like, Pete Davidson's reps said, no, he does not. And gave the test. Like, show the test that he does not have it. But it's insanely petty. Kanye has lost his goddamn mind. I know this
he's
is
out of
old
control.
News.
Out of
but
control.
But he used to make good music, too. And now he's not doing that. So get the fuck out of here. Take the girl from Uncut Gems and fuck off. Go sell
some
ugly shoes.
It's kind of ruining her in Uncut Gems. Maybe this sounds mean, but I guess I would say if you were just going to guess, like, one youngish celebrity who's sort of, like, that rumor would somehow, you'd buy, maybe. Maybe Pete Davidson is high on that list.
I don't think so.
No, not for me.
Unless you, like, but I would believe other diseases. I would believe other diseases about anyone, but when you go straight
to
AIDS,
like
it's like it's too much.
He looks a little sick. He looks sick sometimes. He needs to eat more or something.
He's a dear, dear friend of mine. Maybe one of like second best friend. He's right up there. But yeah, he could have had an effective rumor if he had just told other people to be like, tell him that he's got syphilis. I would buy it 100% 9 times out of 10. And it's weird. He's trying to be nice to his wife and then claim that her boyfriend, that means that Kim has AIDS. Or could possibly have AIDS.
That's a good point.
You wouldn't want to do that to the ex-wife you're trying to get back. But this is also the guy who, when he married her, his wedding present to her was a chain of Burger Kings in Europe. All right?
That's sick.
So you know if you break up with that guy, he's going to tell people that your new boyfriend has AIDS.
Maybe he thinks that'll stop her from having sex with Pete Davidson. Like, that's his way to get to her through the media.
He's threatened to punch him recently. Like, he was almost, like, investigated for assault. Last weekend, he was, like, live on Instagram saying that, like, Kim won't let him go to his daughter's birthday party. And he's, like, so pissed off and so, like, upset and, like, went on this whole rant. And then 2 hours later, it was reported that he was at the birthday party. Like, it's just he's out of his damn mind.
Yeah, didn't Travis Scott, like, give him the address?
That's what he said.
But they were having two separate birthday parties for the kid. One that Kanye was throwing later in the day. And, I mean, I wish he would go away forever. I'm not a fan anymore. Used to be a big fan. But I'm a bigger fan of Pete Davidson not having AIDS. Good for you, Pete. Way to go. Wrap it up. Now, this next story, I would believe, if you told me it happened to Pete Davidson, I would believe you.
It's about a beloved family pet in the UK that was kicked so hard, a cat, that it was left close to death with a destroyed penis and a boot mark on its body. I have a guess, but why, Anthony, did you choose this story?
You know, it was slim pickings this week. I'll be honest about that. But it just made me laugh that the family, because I assume it was not a family member who did this, that like a stranger did it, and the family found their beloved cat,
correct,
and saw that the penis was tore apart. That the cat was like he got kicked so hard his penis tore apart. Like that they would even, those words would leave their mouth. You'd be like, oh, like his stomach is like lower region is messed up. Take it to the vet. But they'd be like, his penis tore apart. Not his penis is torn apart. His penis tore apart on impact with the foot. Let's alert the media right now. Because you don't hear a lot about like pet injuries in the news. That they would alert the media is very funny to me.
Well, yeah, she set up a GoFundMe. So she discovered the cat, the owner did, you're right, nearby, like in the neighborhood, like right next to her house, basically. And it's disturbing, the details of what happened. The urethra was ruptured and what was wrong with Pete. But it was a 10,000 euro vet bill. And she could pay for like some of it, but she set up a GoFundMe to get helped with it. And I guess that's how it sort of got out through the media. I did check. This GoFundMe is still not totally filled, so it hasn't totally caught on. I guess people aren't really that sympathetic to
our
cats.
Listeners should do that. They should go to this GoFundMe, and JRVP listeners should pay. Absolutely.
I find that people are very people will just be like, you should have had pet insurance. You should have had pet insurance, and I'm not going to say that's what I would do, but I do have pet insurance. And if someone kicked my dog's penis apart, I would go John Wick for sure.
And there was a boot mark on it. I mean, that was the thing. She was like, I would have just thought another animal, something crazy happened, but you could like see the boot mark on
So it stomped? And they stomped the cat? Or they just kicked it as it ran across?
Who knows? Oh, but like the boot made a mark enough and was deep enough on the skin and in the fur that it was still there when she found the cat.
You know what I'm going to say to our listeners? If you want to contribute to the GoFundMe, go ahead. But if you want to go full don't fuck with cats on this one, and find out who did it and track them down and make them pay, then I would support that for our JRVP listeners.
Yeah, that would be true. It is overseas. I think maybe it's in Scotland. I'm not really sure.
I guarantee it's in Scotland.
You did not choose the story for the reason I thought, which I misread the headline. The headline was cat kicked so hard his penis tore apart. I thought that meant that there was a cat that kicked so hard that his penis tore apart. I was like, that's a badass cat. You know, I thought that was...
Hey, guys, welcome to my place. Come on in. Just be careful with the cat. He will kick your penis apart. He will tear that fucker right off. If you don't look at him, he's fine. But if he does kick you, your penis will go flying.
Right. I thought it was... I was like, this is a great JRVP story. And then I clicked the link and read it, and I just was like, oh, I'm an idiot. That's not what the story is about at all.
Yeah, but if anyone does have a cat that kicks penises apart, I mean, I would watch that TikTok for sure. I would buy that cat. I'd become a cat person.
So like, you're not anti-cat, are you? You're a dog owner that doesn't, you don't hate cats, do you?
Love cats. I just don't want the litter box in my home. You know, I don't have a big enough place that I can like bury it somewhere that I didn't want to deal with that. And I worried that a cat would run off my balcony and escape somehow if it got in the balcony and possibly plummet to its death. But I knew with a giant dog that tries to eat everybody, I'd be safe from that. But I do not dislike cats. Cats are cool.
Good. Good to hear.
And unless they kick your penis apart. Like, why? How'd you train it to do that? And because I do,
like,
I do,
like jumps in the air.
I do have like loose pieces of string wrapped around my penis at all times. So if I'm like on my way to the shower, you know what I mean? I'm a target.
All right, Mom, you can start listening to the show again now. She's like fine with anything happening to kids or any other types of horrible story, but cats, that's a bridge too far.
Yeah, but cats kicking penises apart is cool. Cats getting their penis kicked apart? Nope. Cats kicking a penis apart? Great. Tear it up. I like the reggae. And now it's time for...
ad copy.
There has never been a better time to become a programmer.
Nope.
It's, you know, we had ZipRecruiter earlier. A lot of those jobs people are searching for is for programmers. And with Codecademy, you can learn to code on your own terms, whether you're starting from scratch or looking to advance. Codecademy can help you reach your coding goals. Your boss may not recognize your full potential, but guess who does? Codecademy.
Codecademy.
With Codecademy...
Codecademy.
You can learn the technical skills to advance your career or start a totally new one. Over 50 million people already know that Codecademy is the best way to learn a code. That's because Codecademy not only teaches you job-ready coding skills, but also helps you build unique projects for your portfolio, earn certificates.
Build unique projects for your portfolio.
For technical interviews. So, you know, I checked out the website. We are obviously not coders. You know, secret.
Not yet.
Story there. But it's a great site that is very easy to use. You can learn at your own pace. You get qualified for jobs. And it's something where you can have a ton of experience and get better. Or if you have no experience, you'll be writing real working code in minutes. So you choose kind of what you want to learn, from building basic websites to artificial intelligence, everything else that you could want to do. They've got a whole list of different coding languages. Doesn't mean anything to me, but Python, Java. SQL, JavaScript. Yeah, that's one of them. HTML, CSS. Codecademy will point you in the right direction. They give you instant feedback. Your code is tested as soon as you submit it, so you always know if you're on the right track. That would be a tough part of creating code if you're just, you know, in your house. How do you know if any of this shit works?
Or
how
it is almost impossible until Codecademy came along.
Codecademy. Land your dream job in web development, programming, computer science, data science, and tons more. Join over 50 million people learning to code with Codecademy.
Codecademy.
And see where coding can take you. Get 15% off your Codecademy Pro membership.
Codecademy.
When you go to Codecademy.com.
Codecademy.
And use promo code JRVP. That's promo code JRVP at Codecademy.com.
Codecademy.
To get 15% off Codecademy Pro.
Codecademy.
The best way to learn to code. That is CODECADEMY.com. Promo code JRVP.
And that was
ad copy.
What's the next headline? I love this one. I really love this one.
I do too. It's about a New Zealand man.
Of course, it's New Zealand. They have a great sense of humor about most things over there.
It's true. It's a guy who knew he was about to be fired. He had this meeting on the books. They were downsizing at work. Knew he was going to get fired. And he decided to bring an emotional support clown with him to his meeting.
He paid $200 to hire the clown to come in and paid for the full hour and had the clown come and sit next to him. And the picture in the article is great because the guy looks just like kind of bemused but serious, just sitting there next to this full-blown clown. And I love that the other people, because they were like, the bosses were like, you are allowed to bring someone for support. I think they thought meant like a family member or a friend or even like a support animal, as some people will do. This guy brought a clown and they allowed it. They just did the meeting anyway, still fired the guy. But, I mean, it must have been so hard not to laugh. When the first guy walked in, were they like, we changed our mind. You get to keep your job now. The fact that they went ahead and fired him anyway is so funny. I wonder if the clown did like a wah, wah, like when he actually got fired. Because I know he did different noises to make lighten things up. Did some balloon animals when they actually fired him. They said it was distracting. They had to ask the clown to quiet down a couple times, which is hilarious. That you would be firing a guy that you're never going to see again. And instead of just telling him to get the clown out of there and leave, you let him stay for the entire meeting. Just ask him to pipe down a little bit every now and again. Be like, excuse me, sir. Would you please just do it a little more quietly? You can make the balloon animal make it quiet. If you can.
I feel like every story I ever hear about New Zealand always helps me to understand Flight of the Conchord more.
Yes.
The show. This, like it just makes a little more sense. The quotes that they got from the bosses were hilarious. They said, you know, they did see the humorous side and that it lightened the meeting and that they, you know, it's spiced up the meeting. I don't believe them. Maybe everyone in New Zealand's in a good mood, but if they were American bosses, I bet they would be furious. And they just were acting that they enjoyed it, that this guy decided to bring a $200 emotional support clown.
But these guys, I mean, these guys who fired him had to have taken the picture. Because the picture is like them across the table and they're taking a picture of the clown and the guy next to each other. Not only were they cool with him bringing the clown, but they were cool with him like publicizing this, naming the company. Naming the company that he's being fired from and took a picture being like, this is great.
That's why they would be pissed, though, is because he's so, in a way you could look at it as he is almost using this as a way to get noticed that they are firing him or something. And that's unfair. He looks like a guy who would bring a clown to one of these meetings. Mm-hmm. He's got like an ironic mustache.
He looks like a New Zealand's answer to Jim from The Office.
Yeah.
He looks like their version of it. And that's not an insult.
They said the clown mimed crying as mm-hmm. Jack's employers slid the paperwork. I mean, I started to wonder if this was true, but then I checked and it was all on legitimate news sources.
I hope the clown like poured a gallon of water into a bucket and then went to throw it on the bosses at the end, and it was just confetti. That would be great. I love this. I love the whole thing, and I hope this is a guy who's going to either get hired right away or never work again.
Right. To me, the only red flag here, and I like what he did, but if like you can hire an emotional support clown to come with you, that's an indication that like he probably was the guy that you should fire.
I bet it was company-wide layoffs. He knew he was one of the guys.
I get it, but like, and so, all right, let's say you come from a background where it's very hard to put food on the table, and like you're not sure where... if you're going to be able to pay rent, or if your parents are like gonna be able to live comfortably, like you're not hiring emotional support clowns. This guy is in a position that he's confident he's going to be getting other jobs and he's fine.
I bet he's got a social media presence, and I like how you just outed yourself as having money problems and worried about your children's future.
What are you talking about?
Needing that $200 clown fund to try to send them off to school. But yeah, I hope this guy gets another job, and I hope he brings a clown to that job too. I hope the clown, like, I mean, if you're a clown and you get hired for something like this, you must be so psyched. You know, it's only going to take like 15 minutes at tops. You still get dressed up, but you get the full $200. Or did the guy make the clown hang out with him for the rest of the hour?
I wonder, like, is this guy an emotional support clown?
He's just a clown. You're allowed to bring in someone for emotional support, so they called it an emotional support clown. Okay. There's no such thing. That would be insane. That would be insane if your job was emotional support clown. Like, oh, I have a kid's birthday party. Oh, I don't do that. I'm here for emotional support. Call me when you go through a breakup, and I'll be there. We used the clown to break up the two animal stories.
Yeah, we did. Our last story, it's about an Alabama man whose trial was delayed this month for keeping a squirrel supplied with methamphetamines in order to make it an attack squirrel. Because everyone knows a squirrel on meth does not fuck around.
I love the idea of the cops being like, did you feed the squirrel meth? And he's like, it's my attack squirrel. Yeah, what are you going to feed it? Acorns? No way. And like, why would you be confident that if you let that squirrel out of the cage, it's not going to come right for you? Because you give it the meth that it loves?
It so sounds it, like it works. Like this squirrel was attacking people and they believe
that... No,
it was
just in the cage when they raided his house. They found it and they said there's no way they can test. I actually read this one. There's no way they can test if the squirrel is actually on meth or if it's ever had meth. They just have to take this guy's word for it. But he sounds like such a piece of shit, they believe him. He's being charged with animal abuse, I believe. But I want to know what they do with the squirrel now. Did they just put it down? Because you can't just release that out into the wild. It's going to fuck up everything. Everything. In Alabama, before this was pristine, you wouldn't want to release an attack squirrel out in the public. Imagine being a meth head and sitting down in a park to hit your meth or whatever, however it is you do meth, and a squirrel just comes and just fucks you up and takes your meth.
I love that there actually had to be a quote that there's no safe way to test the squirrel for meth. Like, no shit. I would be shocked and amazed if there was.
Yeah, you kill it and see if meth falls out. You know what I mean? That squirrel's got to die. That squirrel has to go. You can't be like, hey, this squirrel was addicted to meth. We're going to see if we can find a good home for it because it's going to kill somebody.
Well, plus you have to be wary about it like becoming an epidemic in the squirrel community, like the meth epidemic.
Devastating. Just fly right through. Yeah, they start small and they go right to meth. But you can tell by the squirrel's face; it looks gaunt. You know, it's kind of it's got. You can tell the squirrel's been picking at its own face.
I do want to show you a picture of the face of the guy who was caught with it, because he just looks exactly like you would expect a guy who had an attack squirrel with meth to look like.
Mm-hmm. What does the tattoo above his eye say? Attack squirrel? Ask me about my attack squirrel?
He kind of looks like a human embodiment of an attack squirrel. He did have other charges. I was like, is this really a crime? You know, having an attack squirrel. But
the cops didn't hear he had an attack squirrel and raided his home. Like he was dealing meth.
That's sort of how the headline made it sound, or something. Just like guy with attack squirrel, you know, trial delayed. There were some drugs and weapons charges in there. Yes.
Imagine being so into meth that you don't smoke at all. You give some to your squirrel. You captured a squirrel and started feeding it the meth that you were so addicted to. People feeding the drugs to other things is always amusing to me. And attack squirrel is no different. I hope it has a name. And I hope the name is Badass. And I hope, I would love if they just released it into the wild and then watched it just tear shit up, just like knock a tree over and be like, fuck you. Going out stealing people's meths and burying it, stealing people's meth and burying it in the ground for winter. Just have big cheeks all full of meth. Fly free, attack squirrel. And now it's time for
Choo-choo.
Recommendation station. Greg, what do you got?
I'm going to recommend a movie this week on Netflix called Power of the Dog.
Mm.
Has Benedict Cumberbatch in it. Has Jesse Plemons from Friday Night Lights, among other things. Kirsten Dunst. It's one of those movies. It's set about 100 years ago in Montana that for most of the movie, I was kind of like, what the fuck is this movie? Because like you think it's going to be a Western. You know, it's set in that sort of setting, but it's not a Western at all. It's got a little Brokeback Mountain feel to it, of just like what it would be like to be a repressed or out gay guy back then, and how tough that would be on you. It is extremely strange. Kirsten Dunst is great in it, playing this alcoholic white eventual wife of Jesse Plemons. But I still was like, what the fuck is this movie, until the end. And there's a change at the end. It's not giving anything away, but it makes the whole rest of the movie kind of fall into place and made it worth it. And I definitely did not see it coming, and thought about it a lot afterwards. I can't say it was like the most enjoyable 2 hours ever, but all the actors in it are great. Benedict Cumberbatch plays like the meanest motherfucker ever. It was worth watching.
See, I wanted to watch this movie. Okay, I knew it was coming out. I love Westerns, especially when you tell me that like the end is amazing. Like, I think Unforgiven is like a pretty good movie. And then the end, the last 10 minutes is like so incredible that it's one of my favorite movies of all time. So I was into this, and I could not get Liz to get on board. She's like, I just don't want to sit and watch this for 2 hours. I'm like, let's watch the trailer. And the trailer on Netflix makes it look like it's about Benedict Cumberbatch really wanting to fuck this kid. It looks like the movie's just about him wanting to fuck a kid. And I don't know what else happens, but I'm like, this is the movie? I don't think they even have guns in the movie. It's just him giving this kid looks.
No, there is no. It's not a Western at all. There is no guns. That part of it is kind of misleading. That is a bad trailer for this movie, because
is there a dog in it?
That is an element to it. There's no dog in it too, so that's misleading. It's like a quote passage that the kid says. That element that you mentioned and I mentioned too. It's about, you know, the kid is a gay kid, and it's not really introduced as a significant plot line in terms of Benedict Cumberbatch's involvement until pretty late in the movie. So that also is annoying. I hate when movies sold poorly.
Every time they cut to Benedict Cumberbatch in the trailer, it looks like he's thinking like, man, I want to fuck that kid. And that's all I get. And the kid's just like trying to do kid shit. He's trying to do kid stuff. And Benedict Cumberbatch is like, God, I want to fuck.
No, it starts. I'm not giving anything away. It starts with him being like a total fucking asshole to this kid, who ends up being his brother's, you know, stepson, and that's sort of how the movie starts, and it goes from there.
I got that from the trailer. Maybe I'll try to check it out on my own.
It was worth watching.
If you're saying it's worth watching, I'll check it out. Jane Campion, I believe, the director, who did the Piano, and nothing else. Erica, what do you got?
So this is like so perfect for me and anyone that would like, I know it's a small audience that likes my type of books that I read, those like thriller female like shitty novels that I love so much. So there's a new Netflix show that just came out a couple days ago, like 2 days ago. It's with Kristen Bell. And it's called The Woman in the House Across the Street from the Girl in the Window. And it's like a satire on those shitty novels about like all these books that I love. And it's Kristen Bell kind of playing out this narrative of these books. Like the title alone is just like worth watching. The end. It's only 8 episodes. Bingeable. Super great.
What? Like, if you told me it was a movie, like an hour and a half, 90-minute movie on Netflix, I'd be like, I'll watch that. That sounds like it could be funny. 8 episodes? Get the fuck out of here.
But it's like 20-minute episodes. So it's, but yeah, but it, just the name alone is so fucking funny. And it's really smart. And the end is so.
Like if you like Scary Movie 3 as much as you do, you're going to love this
movie. I
love
Scary Movie 3. But that's no, I think saying.
That you've said that's your favorite movie of all time is Scary Movie 3. So I really feel like love this Scary is the same genre.
No, it's
right?
not as, it's not, it's more. I think that if you didn't know it was making fun of this sort of genre, that you would almost, because that there is this like thriller, you know, like through line through it, but it's the nuances and sort of the writing and some of the smart little inside digs. Like I'm just really loving it. And it's not like slapstick humor at all. So, but I'm really loving it.
We're doing this over Zoom, Erica. And even though I have a computer screen in front of me, I can't even look at you. I'm like staring off into the distance while you talk because I can't make eye contact while you recommend this. So I mean, the reviews have been abysmal, and every comment I've read in the reviews are like, listen, that works for Power of the Dog. It does not work for this shit. every comment on the review was like, if this was a movie, I would watch it. 8 episodes, you're out of your mind. It's too much. It's too
much. Okay, it's not for you. Then that's okay. You know, go ahead and recommend a Ural Droog album for the 30th time.
And I will. This is, he dropped it last week. It's Ural Droog and the God Fahim.
What is he paying you guys? What is he paying?
I just love him. I just love his brand of hip hop. Anything he puts out so much stuff that I think, and it's all at such a high level. It's incredible. The line I quoted up top was from the album. I've listened to it a few times. It's only 22 minutes long, I think. It's an 8-track EP. This is The Wolf on Wall Street 2. So he did an earlier version with the God Fahim. And it's just like very chill rap. It's like the kind of hip hop you'd have going on in the background when you're doing whatever. Because some of this stuff is like, you want to sit down and like, you want to fucking run a marathon listening to this. But this album is just like chilling in your car, kicking penises off of cats. I love all his stuff. This is great. Again, it's an EP. It's shorter. But if you want to check out Ural Droog, check him out with the God Fahim. And they're both great. They're great together. They play well off of each other. And it's not the kind of thing, I know, like, remember when, like, Method Man and Redman put out The Blackout? And I remember Greg's criticism was, whenever Redman's rapping, I just wish it was Method Man. I don't feel that when I listen to The Wolf on Wall Street 2. When the God Fahim is doing his thing, I'm loving it. Mm. And when Ural Droog steps in, it's even better. But I don't hate on the collaboration. I love Ural Droog by himself, and I love him with the God Fahim. The Wolf on Wall Street 2. And that was...
Choo-choo.
Oh, wow. Recommendation station. Debbie, kick us out of here.
Whoa, Nelly Furtado. That's a spicy meatball.